Good evening, everyone. It's time for another episode of Liberty Unbridled. I am your guest host, Dave Capano. Your regular host, Ken Mulman, may be joining us after the break tonight. This is the My View Matters Radio Network. As is traditional for the show, we're going to start off with some random political rhetoric. I will work for an America where rich oil companies and North Korean dictators can't sabotage our glorious future. I seem to recall hearing something much like that in a recent campaign. All right, so what we have on deck tonight, this is very difficult for me. I've got to tell you, my heart and my mind is all over the place. Last Saturday, about 2 o'clock in the morning, a Boone County, Kentucky sheriff's deputy fatally shot a 19-year-old girl leaving a field party. The story isn't exactly clear. For those of you that aren't aware, the officer was responding to a field party. Several people were leaving. Several people were staying. All of the details aren't clear, but the deputy approached a vehicle as it was leaving a driveway, was on the side of the vehicle at the time, wound up on the hood of the car at some point, drew his service weapon, discharged 4 shots into the windshield, and the girl was later pronounced dead at St. Elizabeth Hospital in Florence. They didn't release the dash cam footage right away. They did release it not long after the story broke. I was debating whether or not to watch it myself. I decided that I would. I had it on advice of friends that had watched it, that I wasn't going to see anything horrible. The act actually happened outside of the frame of the camera, and that I should give it a watch so I might get some answers on what might have happened. And I did, and the guy was on the side of the car. He approached. There's no audio. It does seem apparent that he gave the order to stop. The vehicle did not stop. He did not step away from the vehicle. He actually stepped toward the vehicle. And then the vehicle and the deputy go out of frame. And you see some other things in the video which make it apparent that something was happening just outside of frame. The story is that she was ordered to stop, and according to the sheriff's deputy, she did not stop, but revved her engine, accelerated, and ran into him, putting him on the hood of the vehicle. And he was in fear for his life. I will not rush to judgment, but having watched the video myself, it just doesn't add up. If you were next to the vehicle, and it started to accelerate. I cannot fathom how you could wind up on the hood of that vehicle when you're starting on the driver's side and it's turning to the left. I'm sorry, folks. This really chokes me up, and I don't like talking about it because it's a very serious issue, and we have a life lost. But I think that it is important to talk about. There are a lot of liberty issues at stake in this story. I think that they are important to talk about. I think it's important for everyone to remain calm and try to get down to the bottom of what really happened. But regardless, we definitely have another story of tension increasing between law enforcement and the public. And that's an issue that I feel very strongly about. This story is local, so it hits very close to home. I'm just a county over. I don't know the family. I don't know the sheriff's deputy, but I do know people who are touched personally and privately by this. And so we want to figure out what was going on. The story is not only local, it has hit national news. Reason Magazine picked it up. And I believe that right now the eyes of the country are on Boone County, Kentucky. So a few more details. The Sheriff's Department did request of the Kentucky State Police that they help in the investigation in order to avoid any appearance of wrongdoing by the Sheriff's Department. Kentucky State Police declined that request. And the Boone County Sheriff's Department is actually happy citing protocol, and they are investigating the issue further. The sheriff's deputy, his last name is Rockman, has been placed on administrative leave so that the Sheriff's Department can investigate the incident. The Cincinnati Inquirer has talked to family members of the girl, has talked to friends of the girl. There was a visual held in her honor. Everybody's looking for answers. And I'm not sure that there are any that will satisfy. But it does bring up questions. And those questions are about law enforcement, what they were doing there, was there an overreach, could this loss of life have been avoided? There's an internet firestorm happening right now. Everybody wants to chime in on the issue. I'm slow to judgment. But having looked at the facts that have been released so far, following the story, seeing that it's changed a little bit from the time that it initially broke until now, watching the video when it was released, does not look good. We will be taking calls after the break. If you would like to call in and talk about this issue, feel free to do so. The number is 858-683-1326. I'm going to do something that I initially promised myself that I wasn't going to do. And I'm going to watch the video footage now, and I will narrate to you what's happening. I invite all of you to fire up Google and find the video for yourself. It's on Cincinnati.com.
With one open position, bringing better.
So when the video starts, you see the deputy in front of his cruiser, and you see the vehicle at the driveway. He approaches the vehicle, which is stopped. The vehicle is allowed to go. The vehicle moves on, goes to the left of the screen. Sheriff's deputy walks to the right. He's off screen. You see him half in screen, half out of screen. Another vehicle pulls up. Sheriff's deputy starts backing up. You can see a female driver. He begins approaching from the side of the vehicle, passenger side. He's making motions that are relatively obvious. He's ordering the vehicle to stop. Vehicle does not stop. Continues moving towards the left-hand side of the screen. Officer begins approaching closer to the vehicle. Not away from the moving vehicle, but closer to the vehicle. Vehicle slows down. Officer gets directly up next to the side of the passenger or the driver's side window. He appears to be talking to the female driver. At this point, everything happens off screen. Vehicle continues moving. Sheriff's deputy is following along with what appears to be a hand on the open window of the driver's side. And, of course, you see nothing at this point. Everything's happening off screen. Audio was disabled. Another vehicle pulls up to the driveway. You see a pedestrian. So there's some time that's actually passing here. Unclear as to what exactly happened. There appears to be something happening. Pedestrians and drivers and the other passengers in the other car are pointing across the street, not towards where this vehicle has gone off screen, but across the street. And you see debris appearing on the left-hand side of the screen. It appears as though either a vehicle is smoking or there is some sort of dirt being kicked up. There is a pedestrian on the road. At this point, something has happened. The pedestrian is kneeling in the middle of the road. Another pedestrian begins walking to the center of the road and now has his hands up in the air. He keeps his hands up in the air as he walks across the street to the other side. You can see the pedestrian that was kneeling on the side in the middle of the street, weeping. Another pedestrian crosses the street, squats down, obviously upset and angst. The girl that was on the left-hand side of the street is now raising her hands in the air as to show that she doesn't have anything, or she's reaching up asking why. The pedestrian that made it to the other side of the street is now flailing in what is obvious extreme anguish and pain, smacking his knees. Another deputy comes into the scene, orders the two pedestrians off of the street onto the side of the road. And that's it, folks. The comments that have been made about why this happened do bring up a lot of questions for any reasonable mind. I'm not one to rush to judgment against law enforcement, but I'm not one to rush to judgment on their behalf either. Reason.com, did post an article on their blog. They gave the details very succinctly. I'd like to read that for you. Authorities have released footage from a Kentucky deputy's dash cam that shows the events that took place just before a 19-year-old girl was shot dead. Fox 19 reports friends and family of Samantha Ramsey are calling for justice to be served after they say the teenager was gunned down by Boone County, Kentucky deputy Tyler Brockman as she left the party on Saturday morning. I'm sorry, folks. I really wanted to get into a lot of the liberty issues that surround this. They are all there. I thought that I would be okay getting to them. But a 19-year-old girl is dead. And I just can't seem to get over that. Cincinnati Inquirer has a rather lengthy article. They've been investigating the issue. The statement was released shortly after the killing that stated that Ramsey accelerated her car and struck Brockman instead of stopping, as she was ordered to do, throwing him onto the windshield. The article goes on to point out that three of Ramsey's passengers told the Inquirer that the deputy was not struck. One of the passengers said that Brockman jumped onto the hood from beside the car. I would like to believe that law enforcement would not do such a thing. Having seen the video for myself, that description of the events makes sense according to the video footage. The statement released by the Sheriff's Department, unfortunately, does not. After firing his gun, the deputy did fall off of the hood, apparently sustained some sort of minor injury to his ankle. the car eventually came to a stop because the driver was either dead or dying. When the deputy called for backup, he told his fellow deputies that the driver had tried to kill him. The Ramsey family is asking for answers. They want to know why their little girl was lost. And the community, and I believe people outside of our community, are looking for answers as to exactly how this could have happened. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and we're about 5 minutes before the break. I'm going to go ahead and take our break now. I need a moment. If you'd like to call in and discuss this issue, call in after the break or during the break. That number again is 858-683-1326.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Lost in information. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, welcome back from the break. You are listening to the My View Matters radio network. This is Liberty Unbridled. I am your guest host, Dave Capano. If you'd like to call into the show, area code 858-683-1326. We're talking tonight about the situation that happened last Saturday in Boone County, Kentucky. Boone County Sheriff's Deputy fired four shots into the driver's side of a vehicle that was leaving a field party and killed a 19-year-old girl. We do have with us tonight our main host, Ken Mulman. Ken may be popping in and out just a little bit here. Ken, you're there?
I am here, but I'm going to be in and out here for a few minutes. I'm taking care of a few things. And Dave, thanks for running the show for me tonight. Got a bunch of personal stuff I got to take care of today. But I guess my main thing, and there's actually a broader thing I'd like to bring up as part of this, but my real question, I think everybody's real question, is how did this officer end up on the hood of this car? And I think that's the question specific to this situation.
I agree. That's the question. If you watch the video, and I know that you haven't, that's the question. That's the question that just keeps running through your mind. It doesn't add up.
Yeah, and I have police officer friends, and they'll tell you that, you know, a lot of times this comes down to a training issue and the way the officers are trained.
Right, and there's a lot of talk about that, and I understand. I understand different sides of the issue. There are those, and it does depend on the department, what area of the country you're in, what municipality you're in. That training can be different. There are law enforcement officials from this is a national conversation right now. There are law enforcement personnel from across the country that are, you know, saying that they're trained anywhere from, remain away at all costs, almost to the extent of, the old mantra of don't fire until fired upon, to if you believe that your life is in danger, you take care of that situation by any means that you see fit, as the moment dictates, which is what the Boone County Sheriff's Deputy is alleging, and it does appear to be that is the training for the Boone County Sheriff's Department.
I think the key problem is a lack of training on how to de-escalate a situation.
I would agree with that. And watching the video, that's another question that comes up as you're watching. And, knowing, some of the details, watching the video, trying to put those pieces together and figuring out what happened. And in my opinion, it's clear that the situation was being escalated, not de-escalated, at the actions that were being taken. Of course, we don't have audio, to be fair, and so it's not clear, but the video does seem that way, that this is a situation that didn't have to occur. There were actions that were taken, choices that were made, and as a result of those choices being made and actions taken, the situation went up in tension rather than down.
Right, and I wonder why it is we don't have any audio on this video. Why is there no audio, I wonder?
That question has run through my mind quite a bit as well. The details that we have of the story are that the audio on that camera was broken at the time of the recording.
That's going to be another issue as well.
Agreed. So it brings up that whole other question, which I'm glad you're kind of helping me get out, you know, into those things. I just get so wrapped up in the loss of life that I can't seem to get past it. But yeah, it does bring up, you know, the other question, you know, if taxpayers are paying for equipment, why is that equipment not operational?
Well, and on top of that, you know, the video camera specifically is for the protection of everybody involved. And if it's malfunctioning in some way, then you're creating a safety risk by allowing that to continue. You know, and this is no ding on Boone County. You know, the Sheriff's Department there is very professional. You know, they've got a pretty good reputation, generally speaking, at least from what I've heard. Having not lived there, I don't know it firsthand, but it's just kind of interesting because with them, you know, having that reputation at least, and, you know, the current sheriff supposedly running a really good ship over there, it's interesting for an officer to be out in a vehicle that needs maintenance.
Right. And one of the other questions that comes up for me as details unfold, apparently what led Rockman to the scene is that he was informed that a field party was happening by someone else during another stop prior to this one. Now, what he was told is that there was underage drinking and the smoking of marijuana happening at this field party. And so, you know, for a lot of the people in the Liberty Movement, that in and of itself leads us to question, you know, was this worth spending that kind of time on?
Especially given that the girl in question, anyway, and I don't know about the age of everyone else, but the girl in question is 19, and she is a legal adult. You know, from our side of things, of course, we don't like the 21 age, the differential between adult and being able to drink. You know, it's an issue where the question is, you're right, was there anything else going on? Were there other things that they should have been doing, or, you know, is this a proper allocation of resources? You know, law enforcement will tell you, well, it's the law, and we're in charge of, you know, enforcing the law, and we got a call, and that's why we responded. And, you know, I don't agree with the law, of course. I also understand that, you know, the officer believes he has a job to do and is following the law by doing that job. And so I don't blame him necessarily for being there. I can blame the law and the bad lawmakers for the bad law. However, you know, the real question is one of escalation and action, and the question surrounding whether that was supposed to be, you know, whether escalation was appropriate in that situation, which generally it's never appropriate? And more importantly, you know, how did he end up on the hood of that vehicle? That is the real question and the crux of this issue.
There are other details that probably should be disclosed, and since we're talking about it, I'll just go ahead and fill those in. The girl, Ramsey, that was killed that night, she had been convicted of a kitty DUI in the past, so that was on her record, so to speak. And on the night that she was killed, there were three passengers in her car, one of which had a warrant for his arrest in Kenton County. I believe that those details are not relevant to the most important matters in this story. But for full disclosure, there they are.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I know they've put that out there, and I didn't know about the passenger, but I did know about the driver having been busted once before. You know, the problem there, again, is you're trying to justify behavior, right? You're finding reasons to justify it. It's not like the officer at the time knew any of that information, right? This is, you know, after the fact, justifying actions.
Right.
You know, my big problem with this is that, you know, the officer does have a radio. You know, that old saying, you can't outrun the radio.
Right.
You know, there's really no reason for him to have taken that action. It would have been far wiser for him to call for backup or to even hop in his car and pursue if he felt it was that dangerous. There are a lot of other actions that could have been taken other than somehow ending up on the hood of the vehicle and firing four shots into that 19-year-old girl.
Agreed. You know, really, that's where my heart really is. I try so hard, you know, not to rush to judgment, but come on. You know, again,
and understand,
if a vehicle is moving, you don't move in towards the vehicle. You know, if you believe that you may be, you know, severely injured or even killed by a moving vehicle, you don't move towards it. You move away from it.
Unless you're a deer.
And agreed.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take the license plate down, you know, you pursue, you know, you have people that are, you know, on their way, you know, you tell them, you know, or as you mentioned, you know, you get in your vehicle and you pursue. But you don't go towards the threat. You know, citizens,
and we get the benefit.
You know,
We're getting the benefit, Dave, of being able to look at this after the fact as well, right? You know, obviously we don't have the video of what exactly happened at that moment, so we don't know exactly what happened. And the reality is we're going to hear both sides, two sides, three sides, however many sides, right? But we'll never actually know because we don't have that video. We don't actually know what was said because the video recording, for whatever reason, the audio wasn't being recorded, which is just stupid, that gets to a whole other subject. I don't want to deviate too far off the path, but, you know, the officers have the ability to get these, they're selling these cameras with audio and video recording on the actual suit. It's a real small camera. It can record like hours and hours and hours of video. They cost like $300. And some of the police departments, we reported on that months ago, that several police departments have been requiring their officers to wear those, and that in those areas there has been a significant decrease in the number of people filing complaints with the police over their actions. So not to deviate too far off the beaten path, but, you know, perhaps this what good can come of this would be to look for some new technologies, some other new things to add that, you know, may help prevent or at least give us a better picture of what happened if this ever, God forbid, happens again.
I agree. It's a very good point. I almost hate talking about situations like this for that purpose, but if it could potentially prevent another death, even one, why not? And you know, you and I have talked about it before. It covers everybody. It's for everybody's protection. And you have the audio and the video, you know, from the officer's vantage point.
Yep.
It protects the officer. It protects law enforcement. It protects that. Honestly, Ken, what I'm most concerned about right now is that there's a 19-year-old girl that's dead. But
yeah,
as a result of that happening, my biggest concern is increased, you know, as I opened the show with, the increased tension between the public and law enforcement and what they're doing and what we can count on our law enforcement for. I've had the good favor to know many law enforcement professionals, and still now, and I can honestly say that I don't know anybody in law enforcement that would intentionally cause someone harm. But it's definitely worth looking into, and maybe, you know, this situation will lead to a better place for all of us, where we can have better training in place, may prevent situations like this from occurring in the future. But that's all kind of out in the court of public opinion right now. I'm not sure where it's going to go.
I'm not entirely sure either. I hope that if nothing else, I mean, the girl's not going to come back to life. And, you know, it's bad that this happened. And, you know, this officer, whether justified or not, is going to have to live with these actions as well. And it's going to mess with his head and, you know, whatever as well. And so I guess the point is the best that can come of this is the learning lessons, right? What could have been done better? What could have been done differently? What can we train officers to do so that they don't make these same mistakes? That's really, I think, the best thing that can come out of this at this point.
I am concerned about the court of public opinion and where it's going. I believe that there is a significant need for law enforcement, but beyond that, I believe that there is a significant need for peaceful relations between law enforcement and the public that they serve. And I think that it's my belief that the biggest danger, you know, here in this story is where the public lands, you know, on the issue. I do have faith in the Sheriff's Department that they will conduct a thorough investigation, and I can't use the word faith, unfortunately, in this next point, but I do have the hope, once all of the details are uncovered, that justice is served.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned, you re-mentioned the investigation, and I meant to bring that up before. You know, I have a real big problem with the fact that KSP refused to get involved. And I don't understand exactly what that's about. Hang on a second. Hang on, Dave. I'm going to do something here.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, I have my own opinions about the Kentucky State Police and their declining the investigation. They have offered to help in the investigation and provide any resources that they may. On one hand, I think it would be best to have a checks and balances system, to have another organization come in and investigate. But on the other hand, I understand the reluctance. And basically taking ownership of the issue. And I believe that in part, and I believe that in whole, it is policy that KSP is siding with their declination. But I believe in part, it is a statement, you know, to say, you know, this happens in your department, and this is your issue to own, and so own it.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly think it's more of a cop-out on their part. No pun intended. I think that this is a perfect case of where when something of this nature happens, this high visibility, it's one of your own folks. It's going to be very hard to investigate impartially. And especially with something of this nature and of these implications. So it makes sense. It makes sense to ask another agency to come in and, you know, help with the investigation. At least, I hope if nothing else, KSP will look over the results, make sure it was thorough. I don't know. I really think that that's a scenario where KSP should have been involved, although I can understand their reasoning behind why not. Then they'll be being called to investigate everybody else's investigations, and that's all they'll do.
I agree with that. The state police, their statement was to decline, and they did say that in part, citing policy and current protocol. And I agree that it may be a bit of a dodge. However, the commissioner offered to provide support to the sheriff's department for the investigation, and they offered up it sounds like quite a bit of resources, you know, to them. So they've offered them the use of the forensic scanner. Lab requests will be expedited, and they offered any other investigative assistance or technical assistance that they might need. And so it sounds like the Kentucky State Police are willing to help in the investigation. They're just not willing to lead it.
Well, as long as they've got the oversight, I think that'll be okay. I still think it would be wise if they would actually lead, but that's what it is. And I don't know, I guess, they're going to try to piece together what happened based on the little bits of information that are available, but without that audio, it's going to be very hard.
Yeah. Ken, and to all of our listeners as well, anyone that is interested in this, The video is hard to watch. Everything, all of the action in this case, and I almost hate to use that word. Let me use the word terror. This is one of the cases where I would agree that word is applicable. The terror that happens in this case is not in view of the camera. So I definitely would suggest to anybody interested in this to take a look at the video. It's really, and I'm sorry to tell you, having seen it myself, it's not going to give you any consolation. It's not going to set your mind at ease in any way. If anything, it's going to bring even more questions, you know, about this and what happened, you know, up in your mind. But our listeners, our people, if you will, we're not afraid of the questions. So I would definitely suggest taking a look and following the story, and definitely take a look at the video for yourself. All right. Ken, looks like we are getting real close here to the bottom of the hour. Did you have any parting thoughts?
I don't know. I guess the point of it all is that we have, you know, a number of issues also surrounding this that we're obviously not going to be able to touch on tonight. You know, hopefully they'll at least get the full investigation done. It'll be done properly.
Agreed. We will. We'll keep an eye on it. And Ken, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? I'm going to ask you live on the show. I'd like to go ahead and follow up on this issue, and any details, I'll try to follow it. And over the next couple of weeks, as this stuff comes out, I think we ought to update our listeners on it, maybe just for a minute to a few minutes, you know, each time, so people that are following along can be updated and know where it's at.
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate. I think the key thing is going to be one that I don't know if we're going to get any more information for a while. Now that the investigation's begun, they're going to end up, pulling that in-house, being real closed about it. And so we won't have any information probably for a few months, if I had to guess.
I agree. And to all of our Boone County folks, definitely keep us updated on the climate in Boone County. That's something else that we definitely want to take a look at. Again, I started with it, and I'm going to end with it. My biggest concern is our law enforcement professionals are so extremely important. They provide such a wonderful service, you know, to us, and the relations between the public that is served and the law enforcement may be strained by this situation, and nobody on any side of this issue wants to see that happen. So we'll definitely keep you apprised of any updates in the case, and we'll look out to our Boone County folks to try to keep you updated as to the climate in Boone County as a result of this, as the investigation is underway as well. So,
thanks, Dave. I just wanted to say thank you for doing the show tonight. You did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. All right, everybody. We'll catch you next week. This is Liberty Unbridled, normally with Ken Molman. I'm your guest host, Dave Capano, and we will catch you next week.